Sanito Hari Rajadani Tatasso Bhat Sarva Yadava Babujam Matura Bhagavan Yatra Nityam Sanito Hari Rajdhani Tata Sabut Sarva Yadava Bubujam Matura Bhagavan Yatra Nityam Sanito Hari Rajdhani Tata Sabut Sarva Yadava Bubujam Matura Bhagavan Yatra Nityam Sanito Hari. Rajadani Tata Sabut Sarva Yadava Bubujam Matura Bhagavan Yatra Nityam Sanito Hari Nityam Sanito Hari. Ladies. Rajdhani Tata Sabhut Sarva Yadava Bubujam Mathura Bhagavan Yatra Nityam Sanito Hari Rajdhani the capital, Tata, from that time, Sa, the country and the city known as Mathura, or is that county? Huh? Country. Interesting. Abut became Sarva Yadava Babubujam. All the kings who appeared in the Yadu dynasty, Mathura, the place known as Mathura, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yatra, wherein, Nityam, eternally, Sanhita, intimately connected, living eternally, Hari, the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation. Since that time, the city of Mathura had been the capital of all the kings of the Yadu dynasty. The city and district of Mathura are very intimately connected with Krishna, for Lord Krishna lives there eternally. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It is understood that Mathura city is the transcendental abode of Lord Krishna. It is not an ordinary material city, for it is eternally connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vrindavan is within the jurisdiction of Mathura, and it still continues to exist. Because Mathura and Vrindavan are intimately connected with Krishna eternally, it is said that Lord Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Vrindavana paritraya padamekam nagachati. At present, the place known as Vrindavan is in the district of Mathura, continues its position as a transcendental place. And certainly anyone who goes there becomes transcendentally purified. Nabadweep Dham is also intimately connected with Brajabhumi. Srila Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Shri Gaura Mandala Bhumi Yeba Jane Chintamani Tarahaya Brajabhumi Vasa. Brajabhumi refers to Mathura Vrindavan, and Gaura Mandala Bhumi includes Nabadweep. These two places are non-different. Therefore, anyone living in Nabadweep Dham, knowing Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the same personality, lives in Brajabhumi Mathura Vrindavan. The Lord has made it convenient for the conditioned soul to live in Mathura Vrindavan in Nabadweep, and thus be directly connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Simply by living in these places, one can immediately come in contact with the Lord. There are many devotees who vow never to leave Vrindavan and Mathura. This is undoubtedly a good vow. But if one leaves Vrindavan, Mathura, or Nabadweep Dham for the service of the Lord, he is not disconnected from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At any rate, we must understand the transcendental importance of Mathura Vrindavan and Nabadweep Dham. Anyone who executes devotional service in these places certainly goes back home, back to Godhead, after giving up his body. Thus the words Mathura Bhagavan Yatra Nityam Sanihito Hari are particularly important. A devotee should fully utilize this instruction to the best of his ability. Whenever the Supreme Lord personally appears, he appears in Mathura because of his intimate connection with this place. Therefore, although Mathura and Vrindavan are situated on this planet Earth, they are transcendental abodes of the Lord. Om Akinya Timarandasya Gyananjana Salakaye Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapatandikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yatapada Kamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavam Scham Sri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Betam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakavitam Scham He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radhakanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchaka Pratyubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyebacha Patita Nam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everyone, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tesam satata yuktanam, bhajatam priti purvakam, dadami bhuti. Yogam tam yenamam upayantite. Let me first offer my respectful obeisances and lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and pray for His mercy upon all the devotees in this room. I offer my respectful obeisances unto my Shiksha Gurus, who have helped me so much in my life. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa, and all the followers of it. of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that they may bless us with some intelligence. Offer my respectful obeisance unto the Vaishnava devotees who assembled here and pray for their mercy. Hare Krishna. So this is a very important verse because it allows us the importance. As you know, Rupa Goswami had mentioned that one of the five things is to actually live in Mathura, Vrindavan, or Navadvip Dham, or Mayapur. So we should be intelligent enough to some point in our life, those of you who haven't had the opportunity of going to these transcendental abodes during the festival or some other time, should take that opportunity, because your devotional service jumps by leaps and bounds just in visiting, just in offering respects to the Dham. I know my very first time, 70 more? Anyway, way back there. When we first went to Vrindavan, is not looking like what it looks like today. Nor would Mayapur. Mayapur was like a patch of dirt with, you know, they were building the wall, which you guys see now. And that was where everyone was staying. And gradually a prasadam hall got built. So there was so much difficulties for the devotees to stay. But everyone who came there was just transcendentally affected by the wonderful place and all the kirtan. The kirtans were just so amazing and so heartwarming that you didn't want to leave. And so those of us living here in the West, we felt very sad at some point, even with all the mosquitoes and all the different other living entities that were finding us as good target bait. We didn't want to leave the Holy Dham because we could feel our own devotional sentiments, our own devotional service somehow increasing, even though we didn't understand. And we didn't have all the opportunity of understanding all the books that we're reading here. The 10th canto wasn't even out. So we should understand, why is Mathura considered a transcendental place? Who appeared there? This is a response supposed to be coming. Who appeared? Lord Krishna. Anyone else have an answer? No? Who appeared in the jail with Vasudeva and Devaki? What did Krishna look like? So in Navadvip, this is confidential information, but everyone's devotee here. Somebody. In Navadvip, when Devaki and Vasudeva was, how did he impregnate Devaki? Wasn't through the common means, man, female, human is human form. He impregnated by chanting into ear what? Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Chanted into her ear. She became impregnated. Now, who is Vasudev and who is Devaki? Are pundits here? Kasyapa and Akriti, right? So what happened in a previous incarnation of a avatar of Krishna, Vishnu incarnations, that they prayed to Mahavishnu that please, he asked you, what, ask for a boon. And they prayed, please, we want a son like you. That was their prayer. So how can there be a son like Vishnu? He has it, I have to come myself. So to fulfill the desires of Kasyapa and Atreya, they took birth again as Vasudev and Devaki. Because when all the demigods, you were just reading, went to the milk ocean and they were praying, and Lord Brahma had prayed onto Mahavishnu, Shirdakshai Vishnu there also, and prayed that, what should we do? Because there's so much problems on this earth, and the Kshatriyas are making a mess of everything. They don't have any moral value, and everything's becoming chaotic. So Mother Bhumi and others came to the demigods, and the demigods came to Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma came to Lord Vishnu and praying, what should we do? And then what was told? That soon Krishna will come, and all you demigods, you should take birth in the Yadu dynasty. So they started to do that. So when Devaki and Vasudev, they were cousin brothers from Nanda Maharaj and his wife Yasoda. So when you all know the story, when Kamsa was going to their wedding and he heard the voice come down from the sky and said, the eighth son of your sister is going to kill you. So he became mad, like imprisoned his sister. He was going to kill her. But then Vasudeva was so smart, he said, he is your sister. It's inauspicious. Anyway, I will give you all the sons born to her. So when Krishna appeared, he appeared like how? Shankh, chakra, he had helmet, golden helmet, armbands, and beautiful garland going down to his knees. So he appeared as who? He appeared as Vishnu, because he appeared as Vishnu, an incarnation of Vishnu Krishna. We call that Vasudev Krishna. Because Vasudev Krishna, he is also Krishna, but he is a form of, from his expansion, Mahavishnu. So a lot of times devotees don't even necessarily know this. It's not wrong worshiping Krishna came from Mathura, but actually Krishna, he appeared in Mathura as his expansion, Vasudev Krishna. So at midnight, at the time of Krishna's birth, Devaki was playing, and then Vasudev Krishna appeared. But at the same time, at midnight, in Vrindavan, about less than 30 kilometers away in the Mathura district, Mother Yasoda also was pregnant and delivered twins. One was a girl, one was a boy. All the residents of Vrindavan know that Krishna actually appeared for Mother Yasoda. So we have to look in our hearts and see, are we Mathuravasis or Brajavasis? So either one is okay. It's not that you're wrong. But those who are following the platform of Braja, they will only see Yasoda as delivering Krishna. And those that are Mathuravasis will only see that Krishna is the son of Vasudev and Devaki. So our line recognizes that Srimad Bhagavatam is not wrong because Krishna produced it, but there's more to it. When the shackles came off and when they prayed, that when Vasudev was praying, that please, and Devaki, you please, my brother who will come to kill you, you please take the form of a small baby so we can hold you and then at that time take you to some place to save you. So at that time, he then now became his forearm form, reduced into a small two-arm form, baby form. Then at that time, when Vasudeva was carrying, all the shackles came off, the guards fell asleep, the doors opened, and he wandered out toward Vrindavan. Why? Because Nanda Maharaj was his cousin brother. They had the same their same lineage. One's coming down from a Kshatriya mother and father. One's coming down from the mother of was a cowherd girl. What do we call him? Vaishyas. Thank you. So they were cousin brothers, and in India, the cousin brothers, everyone called bhai. You'll correct. They're like, there's no difference between cousin. When I was got married to my wife many, many, many years ago, I thought you only had one brother, you know. And there were 7,000 people at my wedding. I'm going, who are? This is my bhai. I was introduced about 40 bhais, and I go, I thought you only had one brother, you know. It's like, you know, everyone's a bhai. I'm going, if I had to ask, how many brothers you actually have? Oh, this is my cousin brother. This is my second, third, fourth, fifth, 18th, 23rd cousin. I'm going, we don't even have names for that in the West. We don't even know who's, you know, I got a cousin, a grandma, you know, like something. I can go like maybe one deep. But in India, you know, there's unlimited ajas and ajis and all these different names for different relatives, which is good. Anyway, so there were cousin brothers. And as cousin brothers, he wanted to save his son. So immediately, as Krishna made that thing, as he was falling out, he was going out, and then he got to the Jamuna, and it was raining like cats and dogs. It was horrible, just thundering and raining in that time. Lord Balaram had taken his Sesha form, and he came up over the head of Vasudev Krishna as he came up over the head, protect him from the rain. But now, when Vasudev came, and there was the waters were going higher and higher in the Jamuna, he went, how am I going to cross this? But just then, my mighty energy took the form of a jackal and crossed the Jamuna in a very low place. So Vasudev saw that, and he goes, then if the jackal can get across, then let me try to go there. So he started going across the river Jamuna, but what happened? The waters kept rising and rising and rising. As it rose, it got up till he's almost going to drown. Then Krishna thought, oh, my father is so working so hard, let me give some mercy. Because why? Jamuna wanted to touch the feet of baby Krishna. So he stuck out his foot and touched the waves. Jamuna became very appreciative, having that darshan, that blessing, and she started to recite. And in that way, Vasudeva was able to take Krishna across the Jamuna and then on to Vrindavan. But when he got to Vrindavan, what happened? He went to the house of Nanda Maharaj, and there Yasoda Maharaj, after laborious delivery of twins, she fell asleep, and she didn't know how many children she had. She had one boy and one girl. So when Vasudev came there with his son, Vasudev Krishna, and he came and he put down the Vasudev Krishna there on the bedstead and took the girl, but he did not see there was another baby there. This is the Yogamaya. He did not see there was another baby there. So he took the girl, and we know the story as he went back. But just then, as he was leaving, the Vasudev Krishna merged into the body of Vrajendranandana Krishna. So that Vrajendranandana Krishna, who is born in Vrindavan from Mother Yasoda, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original, and his expansion, which is potently non-different, only different in Ras, was Vasudev Krishna. And that Vasudev Krishna, because all the incarnations, all of Vishnu forms, all reside within Krishna. So that is not unusual. That form came back. So Krishna, Yogamaya, had covered Vasudev and only picked up the girl. So when he went back, and he went back to Mathura, and when he's going through there, all the doors opened up, he put the baby back, immediately the shackles came on, all the doors became locked, and the guards woke up, and then immediately they heard a baby crying, so they went and got Maharaj Kamsa. Kamsa came as fearful, he was only meditating, I'm going to be killed by the eighth son of Krishna. So he took this, even the baby girl, Devaki, was saying, she's a girl, and she was trying to protect it, because she knew, Devaki knew, this is not my daughter, this is Mother Yasoda's daughter. So she was being very protectful, like a mother trying to protect someone else's child as well. But they didn't know. When Kamsa picked up the baby to really smash it on the rocks like he did with all the other sons, what happened? Immediately, Yogamaya came out and said, "You fool. Krishna's already taken his birth somewhere else." And then he immediately saw how she, with her different arms and stuff, and this was when his worship learned, he paid his obeisances. But still, as a demon, he could only think that, where can I kill Krishna? So he called all of the assembled Rakshasas and demons, Agasura and Putana and Bakasura and all the different other demons that we'll hear about later in the Krishna stories, all were assembled, he wanted to say, because somewhere he's going to kill every baby within 10 days born of this particular time. Meanwhile, in Vrindavan, what was happening? That next morning, the mothers came, and this is known because it's also written in our Shastras, the mothers came and they performed the umbilical cord cutting and ceremony from Lord Krishna and Yasoda. And so, also what happened, Nanda Maharaj was donating millions of cows in honor of his new son. So in this way, all the Brijabasis and followers of basically Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, all of them, all the six Goswami, Jiva Goswami, all of them are all following in the line of understanding. They understand Krishna took his appearance in Mathura, and it's an eternal place because Vishnu is there. But also he appeared as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and brought down his Brajabhumi into the land of Vrindavan. So Mathura Vrindavan is considered one section, but still is separated. When it says Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, he never leaves Vrindavan. What does that mean? Well, then who went to Dwarka? And who went to Mathura? So when Krishna went to Mathura, when he got to the Akura Ghat, then he went into the pond, and into the pond that form of Krishna stayed, and the Vasudev Krishna went to Mathura. This is found, Vishwanath Chakravarti, Jiva Goswami, there's literatures and these writings like that. So Prabhupada gave some of these things. He didn't give everything because we weren't qualified to even hear about this. But this is the understanding. So when Uddhava came, how do we know that that's true? When Uddhava came to Vrindavan, what happened? Uddhava came to Vrindavan, and then he saw Father Nanda and Mother Yasoda, there were cobwebs all over the kitchen. They hadn't cooked. Everything was disheveled. They were just they were just onslaught in separation for their son. And then when Uddhava came and said, oh, you are so fortunate. You have the son. Your son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And of course, Nanda Maharaj doesn't think like that. He thinks he is my son. So when he's hearing this, Uddhava speaking, not only is your son, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then Nanda Maharaj went into even more misery. Why? Because now you're telling my son, who is my very heart, so he's God, and now he's gone, and everything is, then I'm even more forlorn. So Uddhava, he said, you foolish boy, he told him, get out of here. So then he went and saw the gopis. And there, in one mood, he saw Radharani was lying on the ground. And they had to put a cotton up to her nose to see if she was still breathing. She was so much distraught, so much heat over her body, and all the gopis had gone thin and disheveled. Many of them hadn't gone home, still stayed in that area where they were at, waiting, because Krishna said, I will return. So their whole life was bent on that. So Uddhava saw this and he said, these devotees are so much, I thought I love Krishna, but these devotees love Krishna so much, I can't even match to the simplest one, I'm not even close to. So he was seeing the separation and their great moods of separation. But in the next moment, what happened? He saw Radha Krishna together and all the gopis together performing pastimes. And so in one sense he was saying, wait a minute, they're all in separation. In the next moment, he saw Radha and Krishna and the gopis and the gopas, everyone's there and frolicking in wonderful Krishna in the mood of when they're together. I just forgot the Sanskrit term. The sambhog. When they're all together. And then he saw at another moment there was all separation. So how do we reconcile this? Because Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, therefore in one prakosh, or one chamber, make it easier, Krishna is always in performing pastimes all the time with all of his residents of Vrindavan. And then in another prakosh, the separation mood is there, where he's seeing the heartfelt separations of all the devotees. So there's two moods, separation and meeting. So these are always there, same thing as also. So why do we say, okay, Lord Chaitanya appeared in Navadvip, in Mayapur. Also there's two sections there. When Lord Chaitanya came down, he brought with him the spiritual boat of Vrindavan, but he put it in Mayapur. So in the transcendental realm of Brajaloka, there's different prakosh or different chambers where different activities are taking place. And one chamber in the spiritual was called Swetadweep. And that Swetadweep is all of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So it's also within Vrindavan. It's also within the district Mathura. So therefore, Navadweep Dham in Mayapur, which is non-different than Brajabhumi, that is also said when they say residence in Navadweep or in Mayapur is the same as being residence in Vrindavan Mathura. Because why? In the spiritual locality is a part of a chamber in that same Goloka Vrindavan where Krishna is performing his pastimes. He's just now performing his pastimes at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when Radha Krishna came together. So there was one mood where, and I think I told this on the night, but anyway, there was a dream that Radharani was having. They were staying in Nidaban. Nidaban is when Krishna, and when Radha left the Rasa Lila, and she left, and then Krishna felt, well, that even though he was dancing with so many different gopis, he felt, I'm not the same satisfaction either because Radha left, and that was who he was trying to please. So he went after Radha, and where did they go? They went to this place called Nidaban. So if you go to Vrindavan today, you can see Nidaban is by the rock close to Radharaman temple. And there all the trees are bent over. They're small trees, but they're all bent over, like going up down to the ground. And there's a Rajamahal there, which is a little like a temple. And there Radha and Krishna used to take rest, sometimes in the evening. So one day Radharani had a dream. And she had this dream that she saw this wonderful golden form, incarnation of Krishna. And she'd seen so many different forms. Krishna had showed her many of the different forms that he'll take in the material world when he comes in his incarnations here to be able to save the devotees and annihilate the miscreants and establish religion. So she saw some of this. But at this time, she saw this wonderful Brahmin, golden color, with his arms outreached, very tall, chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And there were thousands of people around him all chanting. And it was on the river, and they said the river looked just like the Jamuna. And there was a forest, and the forest looked just like Vrindavan. So she went to him, and he goes, who is this wonderful personality? He is attracting us, attracting everyone. I saw in this dream, it was so exciting, better, more beautiful than any of your other incarnations you've ever showed me. So Krishna said, looked at her and pulled out his Kastuba jewel and he gave it to Radha and looked at Radha, look inside here. And as she looked inside this jewel, she saw the same pastimes as she had the dream of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his hands up, chanting, Hare Krishna! And thousands of people all around chanting and dropping. And he goes, and she saw it, she was amazed, this beautiful golden form, like no other she's ever seen. And she was like shocked because that was a dream, but now she's seeing it as a full pastime from Krishna in his Kastuba gem. So she asked him, now I can understand. He said, we will take birth and combine together. We will combine, he didn't say birth. We will combine together and appear in Kali Yuga, combined. And you will take my color and my mood and we will combine together and chant Hare Krishna and save all of the different fallen souls in Kali Yuga by our combined incarnation. Hoo! So this dream, and Krishna confirmed it. So this land of Navadvip, Mayapur, and Vrindavan, Mathura, are transcendental. Why? Because Krishna brought the actual spiritual world, he brought down to this material world. So how is that possible? Someone then asked me in the Bhagavad Gita class, well, how can it says that Nanda Maharaj, he offered billions and billions of cows on Krishna's birth. How can you get, you're thinking materially, how can you get in 64 krosha, just you can't even get like probably a million cows, but to speak like millions and millions of cows, we speak of all that. Because the spiritual world can be condensed. Krishna is called very Anu, is very small, or very Bibhu, very big. So he can fit, Krishna can fit into everyone's heart, even the heart of insects, very tiny. Even the hearts of ants and fleas and so many other very, so he can be very, very small. It is said in Shiradakshay Vishnu in the human form that he has the size of the tip of the thumb. So Krishna's, inside Krishna is all the avatars, all the spiritual world, all the material worlds, everything is just like inside Krishna. So as Krishna comes the smallest of the smallest or the largest of the largest, he can bring anything in and it can come in this earth planet and also can expand. So sometimes we see that even within the 64 crows of Vrindavan, when people would travel, it would expand. It would become seeming like thousands of miles and then it would contract again. But all the time, the person that's in it, he would be within it, but sometimes the pastimes would expand, sometimes they contract, because Krishna can do anything he wants. He's not limited by our conceptions of material time-space. So he brings this material spiritual world into this earth planet. And that's why this earth planet is considered very fortunate, because he doesn't bring it to every planet. He brought it here, so anyone who goes to Vrindavan, or to Mayapur, or Mathura, or Navadvip, there the eternal pastimes of Krishna going on. If you can see them, of course, it's a progressive platform. When we go there, we may not see, but every tree, the Goswamis used to go every night under a different tree, and that tree would reveal the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So they go every night, stay under a different tree. And why don't they build a hut and stay in a hut? Because every day when they go and the next night they'd stay under a tree and that tree would reveal Krishna's running, Krishna's pastimes that took place there. So they would go and wander in every tree and everyone's saying, you should build a hut and stay. No, because they were absorbed in so much reciprocation, because they were entering into the moods of running Krishna by their purity. So Prabhupada has explained this. Anyone who lives there and chants and performs service there they're actually, we should be very careful because we're now in the Holy Dham. When we're in the Holy Dham, then we should be very careful about committing Dham aparad, offenses to the Dham, Vaishnava aparad, offenses to other devotees, because everything is magnified by 100. Your chanting japa is magnified by 100. Your devotional service of offering artik or chanting kirtan or rendering some service to the spiritual master or devotees is multiplied by hundreds of times thousands. Similarly, also is your offenses. So if you're committing offense, Vaishnava aparad or Dham aparad, it is also not good. So one should be very careful when going to Vrindavan and Mayapur. So, because there you're actually dealing directly with Krishna in his locale. But at the same time, so much mercy is there. They brought their Dham here to what? To give us an opportunity to serve within the spiritual world. Even dumb as I am or may be, that we can't perceive that all the activities are. We know from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was saying, seeing across the Jalungi where he was staying, over on the other side, which is now Mayapur, where the big temples are all going. He saw what? Soon there'll be devotees from the Western countries. They'll be chanting with the Indian devotees, chanting, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. He saw this. He entered those pastimes. He saw this. And he was telling everyone this is going to happen. And of course, we know Srila Prabhupada made this happen. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur predicted in 1896, soon there will be a devotee that will come and spread this all over the world. And that was the same year of Prabhupada's birth. And we know Prabhupada did this all over the world. So why did he give this? Because we should be humble enough to understand we're very fallen. Actually, we're actually very fallen. We think I'm advanced devotee or I've been chanting for how many years. And actually, we don't even know who we are yet. We know that we're soul. We don't know what kind of soul we are. We don't know anything because we're trying to follow. And that is our glory, that we're trying to follow this Vaidhi Bhakti now in a very following the path of Mahajans and following very seriously and trying to chant, to have our mind become controlled and being able to set at the door set of Radha Krishna's pastimes, Kishore Kishori, so that we can offer ourselves who we really are as spirit souls to their service. But because if we're not having a taste for chanting, if we're not having a taste for kirtan, if we're not actually praying when we're chanting and praying when we're kirtan, please use me in your service, please, I'm fallen, somehow make whatever I do to let allow it to be offered unto you. Because what can we do? Prabhupada, I sent recently some devotees, Prabhupada was in this mood. You know, what can we offer? Everything is Krishna's. We don't have anything. Just like a young boy, father has to give him $5. He goes out and buy a far out tie, and he comes back and off the tie. The father was happy. What? It's the money came from him. The tie, maybe he can use, maybe not. But it's the offering that he was so pleased that his son is giving him something. Even though materially he paid for it, everything came from him. So it's the same way in Krishna. We don't own anything. What we own is useless. And so we try to offer something. So it's not what we're offering. It's in the mood that we offer. Please, Krishna, I'm very fallen. I'm praying that you, I'm offering you this, you know, that you please accept. And Prabhupada, when he was saying, he was in tears. His tears were coming. His voice was choking up because he realized, what are we? What can we offer Krishna? You know, everything is his, and we're just like dumbbells in this material world. But we're trying, as we told from our spiritual master, we're trying to offer him something. What does he want? He wants our love. He wants our mood of trying to do whatever we can. Just like in the Ramayana, Hanuman and the devotees, Neil and Kush, they were throwing these big boulders into the isthmus there between Sri Lanka and India. And there was one little spider just flicking little things of sand. And get out of the way, you're in the way. But he was flicking just little pieces of sand in the thing. And Ram said, no, he's doing as much as you. His ability was very tiny. He was an insect, a spider. But yet he wanted to use whatever he had in his service. So he was also trying to help, kicking little bits of sand to help build the bridge. someone can understand. Krishna is in everyone's heart. Some people have big capacities, some have very small capacities. But whatever we do, if we want to do with love, that's what should be our mood. Our mood should be developing this love. And when that love is there, it's the appreciation. Krishna will give more abilities if we're serious. If we want to use it in his service, not for ourselves, then Krishna can do anything. He can make anyone. He can make blind man see. He can make lame men walk, climb mountains, as we say in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. All these things are there. They're not just stories or encouragement for us. They should be encouragement. But it's also truthful that Krishna would come so many times. We know in many of the different pastimes, even the devotees were blind, but Krishna came with them, walked them all the way to Vrindavan. Other times, what happened, the deity would come. There was one older devotee, those knows some this pastime. There was one older Brahmin and one young Brahmin, and the older Brahmin was so thankful that the young Brahmin was helping him, and he came and in front of the deity. He said, "I want to give you my daughter in marriage." And the young Brahmin said, no, don't say this, because you're saying in front of the deity, and I'm poor, I don't have anything, and your relatives will become angry. So no, I'm making this vow in front of the deity. So later when he went back to Orissa, just like the young Brahmin said, his wife, "Well, you're giving my daughter to some poor person. Get out. You can't. We're not going to do this." And his son was angry. His daughter was angry. His wife was angry. So what could the old man do? He couldn't fulfill his vow. So what happened with the young Brahmin that he went and there was no... he said, "You've made this vow, so I've come here, not that I need something, but because you vowed from the front of the deity, I've walked all this way." And then this young son, "Get out of here." He said, "Fine, you can marry my sister if the deity personally comes here in front of us. Then we'll let you do it." And everyone thinking, no faith, right? The deity won't. Well, deity's stone, nothing happened. So what happened? We walked all the way back, and he said to the deity, he said, I on my own part, I don't have any personal desire that happened, but because they made the vow to you, I don't want him to be, I could be offensive, and I saw the old man wanted to, but his family is so against this. So he's made the vow to you, said, you'll have to come." And then he said, "How can I come? I'm a deity, I'm strong, he's telling the Brahmin, and the Brahmin said intelligently, "Well, if you can talk, you must be able to walk also." So in this way, the deity was, I got defeated. So he agreed to walk. So he agreed to walk all the way, 1,000 miles, all the way from Vrindavan, all the way to Orissa. And at that point, he said to him, "Well, he said, every night you can offer me some rice of this, but you cannot turn around. If you turn around and see to look, I will stop." So in this way, Krishna, in his deep form, followed the Brahmin all the way for 1,000 miles. To Orissa, tour that town, and on a mountain top close to that village, he stopped. He said, "How will I know you'll be there? Because you will hear the ankle bells ringing. You will know I'm behind you." So he didn't hear the ankle bells. So he turned and stopped. The deity goes, "Okay, I'm staying here on top of this mountain." Meanwhile, everyone came to know that the deity, he had walked all the way from Vrindavan to here. So they put a slab, sword, bill, and temple, and that. And the family members that were against the Brahmin and had to come and see that the deity was appearing. So they actually had to bow their heads and gave the daughter in marriage. But the deity, he can walk, he can talk, so many different things. We know the different stories, Shri Sri Gopinath, where he actually hid sweet rice from Madhavendapuri, one of our acharyas in our line, because he just had a desire to taste it so he could make something similar for his deity. So the Shri Chara Gopinath had taken the sweet rice and put it behind his dhoti so everyone didn't see. And then when the pujari in the evening, when he was closing and he was went to bed, then he told in a dream, he said, "I have taken some sweet rice. I put it behind my dhoti here. You can find it. You take that, go to the marketplace, and you call out, Madhavendapuri, 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 and he's staying in the marketplace. You take this and you give it to him." Because he wanted it. So Madhavendapuri felt before, he goes, "Oh, I shouldn't think like this. It's so high for the prasadam, but I just want a little taste so I can try to make it for the deities when I go back." So because he was staying in the market, the joy came late at night. He was calling out, Madhavendapuri, Madhavendapuri, where are you? And then at that time, what happened? He goes, I am here. He said, and then he saw this was the pujari for the deity. And he folded his hands, and then he came in front, and he goes. He said, the deities, he has taken and hid this sweet rice. And in a dream, he told me to come specifically to take that from the altar and come to find you in the marketplace and give you this. He saved this sweet rice for you. So on the next morning, everyone came to know that the deity had saved the sweet rice for Madhavendapuri. So Madhavendapuri wanted to leave town because he didn't want so much attention. Everyone was thinking, what a saint. That Madhavendapuri is a saint. We should all take darshan. We should all go and offer our respects and ask for blessings. So Madhavendapuri, he started to get so much attention. He left because he didn't want any of that. But he was so thankful that the deity actually answered. Even though he didn't want to, he didn't want to disturb anything. On his own part, he left. But the deity hid it himself, told his pujari to give it to him. That reciprocation is there by love. So that is what Krishna wants. He's looking for our love and our service. And if we give that love and service here in Chicago, or anywhere we be, then Krishna will reciprocate. Whatever step you take to him, he'll take 10 back to you. So he's asking, come. Engage my service. So we've all signed on the dotted line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's party. We're all aspiring to go and live in Vrindavan or Mathura or Mayapur some point in our life, or visiting there if Krishna doesn't kick us out. We all want to gain that loving respect of the followers that have been following for in our sampradaya for thousands of years. We want to also get our name etched into that book as the follower of Adasa, Adasa, Anadasa, Anadasa, of the six Goswamis, of all the acharyas coming down our line, of Srila Prabhupada, of his disciples that are coming down. They're also all becoming empowered by following in the footsteps of this, our Mahabhagavats and our Mahajans. And if following the path of Mahajans, it's guaranteed that if you're serious and if you chant, and you're, because the method of chanting means we're trying to control our mind, we're trying to evoke the loving feelings, because the end result of bhava, of prema, is that we have love, spontaneous love for God. And we don't have to train our mind to think, immediately it will go there. So to do that, we have to practice. This is practice. How we practice here will also happen in the spiritual world. So we should take this very seriously. I say this every time in class because it's truthful. Sometimes we do things we're doing it because this is what we're supposed to do and this is what someone tells, but we're not thoughtful. Why are we doing this? Why are we coming here and performing service in ISKCON Chicago in Association of Devotees? Why? Krishna's benedicted you. He's giving you association. You know, the temple leadership here is very nice. That's a wonderful thing. Opportunities coming from the deities. I mean, today, Gaur Nitai, especially beautiful. Even though Kishore Kashyap is also beautiful, I think Gaur Nitai is even shining even more. He's giving his blessings for those of you who come every day you're here. We come, we're like a weekend warrior. We're here like, you know, maybe Saturday, maybe Sunday. If we're like, we come by. Krishna hasn't kicked us out. But you're here every day. They're giving blessings every day. You don't even know what's happening to you. So if we wake up and we just pray, please, I've got so much mercy that's coming from my Gurudeva, so much mercy coming from Prabhupada, so much mercy that's coming from the deeds. I'm able to take prasadam, hear the holy name, associate with devotees, render devotional service. You're on a platform of perfection. By doing this your whole life, like my godbrother in the back here, he's performing service here for how many years? 40 years? You don't have to have some flag saying you're advanced devotee. If you're performing service 40 years in the same spot, my dandavats to you. So you have devotees here that have been practicing for years and years. So Krishna must be giving something in their heart. You have a leadership that's actually looking out for your best benefit. Not always happened. Trust me, I was a temple president several times. I don't know if I was a good one. Probably not. But the idea is when they're looking out for every devotee, that every devotee should have some service, that every devotee should make some advancement, that every devotee should be protected from nonsense and crazy things that goes on, and should be have the opportunity of by their own desire to make advancement. That's a wonderful thing. So much benediction we're already getting, we shouldn't forget that, and we should offer humbly our respectful obeisances unto the deities, unto the devotees, unto Srila Prabhupada, that he's allowing us to do anything, that somehow a little speck of service. We're not even qualified as the spider. We're just trying to become qualified. So if we honor the Vaishnavas, we honor Tulsi, we honor the Guru Pooj, we honor the deities and the manifestation, we honor prasadam, we don't eat prasadam, we honor prasadam. Eating, just eating to fill our guts, that's material. But honoring prasadam, because this prasadam has been transformed into a spiritual thing. And by eating it, we can make advances simply by tasting it, eating it. Not just stumping our bellies, but we honor it because why? It has now become transcendental. And every one of these transcendental things is meant for us to engage in the Sankirtan party. The end result is that we should have some love in our heart. We should be inspired by Kirtan. We should want to join it. We should deliver the Sankirtan out to all the world, not only in the form of his books, but also in the form of his holy name, form of prasadam, so many different things. We should be wanting to do that. And as more we have taste for that, then we can see we're making advancement. But if we have no taste for japa, no taste for kirtan, no taste for harikatha, no taste for book distribution, no taste for associating devotees, that means we're still sick, very sick. And so all these things are meant to help cure us. So I'm not talking against you, I'm talking my own self, that we should understand what wonderful mercy has been given to us and we should become thankful and somehow other organize our lives in such a way that we can try to render some service and try to, even though it's unpayable, what our spiritual masters have done for us, it's unpayable, still we must try. Prabhupada told me, yes, we have no qualifications. And I said, well, how do we serve you? He said, you know, how, if we're not qualified, how will we be able to do any render stuff? He said, you can't. You can't give to what he's giving, but you must try. And that is our point. They're giving us the transcendental world. What do we have to give for that? Nothing but our attempt and service to serve them. So if we take that mood in our heart and we try to evoke whatever feeling we have like that, I was told, whatever you know, whatever you know, Mahabhuti, you have to give to others. And he said, they will become benefited by it and you will become benefited by saying it. So if that's true for me, it must also be true for you. So whatever you know, whatever experience you have, whatever service, intelligence you have, then distribute it. And then somehow or other, you'll find that you'll get more by Krishna's grace. Hare Krishna. Any questions or corrections? Yes, Prabhu. Is there water here anywhere?
No. Go ahead.
I had heard that in the early days of the movement in America, that Prabhupada came upon...
Into the microphone, I have a hard time hearing.
Okay. I wanted to clarify a confusion that I've had. I've heard that Srila Prabhupada came upon some of the first devotees in America singing a bhajan to Devaki, and he stopped them.
Sing a bhajan...
To Devaki?
To Devaki?
Am I getting the name right? Excuse me. The birth mother in prison.
I can't hear what he said.
Devaki. They were singing a bhajan to Devaki as Krishna's mother. And Prabhupada corrected them and said, this is not the way that we worship Krishna, and to sing bhajans for Mother Yashoda. I didn't understand that until today.
Prabhupada is a Vrindavan man. His spiritual master is Vrindavan man. His spiritual master is a Vrindavan man. So if you were to say Krishna was born in Mathura, you know, because the Bhagavatam, you have to explain it like I explain it, but Prabhupada would say Krishna was born, he is the son of Yashoda Mai. Yes.
That makes
Krishna also appeared from Devaki. Not the Bhagavatam is wrong, but he appeared as Vishnu.
Okay.
We, just like a Mahavishnu, we offer our respects. He's the extension of Krishna. So Bhagavatam's not wrong, but it's hidden. More of it's hidden because Yasoda gave birth. There's so much things that are explaining that actually took birth. So all the Brijabasis, they identify with Braja. They don't identify with Mathura because Krishna left Vrindavan to go to Mathura. Mm-hmm. And so, and even Devaki and Vasudev, they saw that he had, that Krishna and Balaram had so much attention for Yasoda and Nanda, and Rohini also there, that they wanted to separate. They sent Krishna to Gurukul, farther away, because they wanted to have that mood different, so that the only thing you identify as a Kshatriya and Mathura. But, you know, Krishna took both. Krishna was both, because at that time, when he left Vrindavan, he was in the mood of Vasudev Krishna. There he did so many different pastimes in Dwarka Mathura. But the pastimes when he was in Dwarka, what was he doing? He was calling out, hey Radhe, hey Lalita, hey Vishak, calling out all the names of the gopis and the cows. And so he was passing out. They put this little, they made a little area of Vrindavan and Dwarka, because at night the mothers, the queens of Vrindavan, were saying, thinking in Rukmini and Satyabham and all that, they're saying at night, he's calling out not our names, he's calling out the names of Vishak and Lalita, Radha, and he's, who are these people? In Dwarka, because Krishna was calling, his heart was there. Krishna's heart's in Vrindavan.
So are Krishna's expansions of, forgive my language, but are Krishna's expansions somehow not 100% Krishna? Is something missing?
No. There's a difference. It's called Vishisha, this is speciality. On Vishnu Tattva form, one candle strength is the same as the strength of the other candle. It's an expansion. There's an original candle. Then you light that other candle, it has the same strength. So Vishnu Tattva is same strength, same, it's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Rasa is different. Mahavishnu can't give Braja Prem. He can't give Madhurya Prem. He can't, because you see Mahavishnu, he basically, everyone is following all the Vishnu in Vaikuntha. They're giving service, Dasi Ras, they're in some little portions of fraternal, some little portions of Vatsalya Ras. But he can't give Braja Prem. Only Krishna can give that. And Lord Chaitanya can give that, because it's combined Radha and Krishna. So the strength of God is similar across all his incarnations. Nishinga, Ram, that is also Vishnu Tattva. But the speciality of Krishna can give pure love. His five things are different. His flute playing is attractive. His pastimes are super most attractive. He is the most super beautiful. And so, if we understand these platforms, these things are given specially. There are five qualities more that Krishna has over his expansions. When you understand, when you look at the nectar of devotion, there's five qualities that Krishna has over his other expansions. So those qualities, his pastimes, his beauty, his flute playing, things like that, are so super excellent. So when it comes to giving love at a very high level in the relationship, that not seeing Krishna as Aishwarya, as God, but seeing as my lover, my friend, my son, like this, that Krishna can give. Mahavishnu doesn't give that. So therefore, he, even Mahavishnu in the form of Advaitacharya in Lord Chaitanya's appearance was praying, Lord, you please come. I can't save them. He's Mahavishnu. Why can't he save them? Because the moods that he's wanting to give is that given distributed pure love all over the place without any qualifications. Who can do that? Only Krishna can do that. And Krishna expanded himself as Lord Chaitanya, because he's same Krishna, but he took the moods and the complexion of Radharani. Therefore, he also took the mercy of Radharani. And therefore, through Nityananda in him, was able to spread without any qualifications to anyone. Without any qualification. Only Krishna can do that, not Mahavishnu.
Okay, so in the past, I used to study Buddhism. And here I learned that Buddha is an incarnation of the Lord. So was Lord Buddha incapable of providing love of God?
No, you have to understand, love of God has different forms. All the people living in Vaikuntha have love of God. You don't get to Vaikuntha if you don't have love of God. Their rasa, this is a higher topic for you. Their rasa, or their moods are different. There are different levels of moods of how you love God, according to your heart. There's five, you can read in the nectar devotion, the different moods, where, you know, there's neutrality, there's service, there's friendship, there's fraternal, and then there's Madhurya or lover. There are five moods. So in the Vaikuntha, there's only two and a quarter moods in Vaikuntha plants. So they're all love of God, but they all have a different mood of loving God. Okay. So it's not like they don't have a God. Now, Buddha came for a specific purpose, but he didn't follow the path of the Mahajans. Him and Dattatreya did their own thing a little bit, and therefore it was a disturbance in society. But he came for a purpose at that time to lead people out of the Vedas because they were misusing the Vedas for animal slaughtering. So he came with a particular purpose. Therefore, he tinged bhakti with atheism.
Okay, he tinged bhakti with atheism.
Yes. Okay. And then Dattatreya tinged bhakti with Mayavadism. So those were both somewhat disturbances, but they were perfect for the time, place, and circumstance. Okay. But they're not following the path of Mahajans. We, as devotees, have to follow the path of Mahajans and Vaidhi bhakti.
But he was giving some bhakti because without his presence,
there was something there. But the end result of the Buddhists, they think that he becomes zero. You just become nothingness.
Yes.
So that platform is not devotional.
Not devotional, yes.
So therefore it's tinged with atheism. But at the same time, then he sent Lord Shiva as Shankaracharya to bring the people back. So Lord Shiva preached a covered form like Mayavadi and like Buddhism, but within the Vedic thing, and brought all those people back from who were outside, bringing them back to the house of Veda. Then what happened? He sent Ramanujacharya. And Ramanujacharya, his platform was, it's one, but there's some speciality. There's also a jiva. Then Madhavacharya came and said, no, there's two. There's the Supreme Lord and the jiva. Okay? And then Nimbaditya also came and moved more to this way. Then when Sri Chaitanya came, it was like he gave the flower. He took each from a different part of the different sampradayas and training and brought it into the Achintabheda-Bheda-Tattva. Simultaneously, one and different. That the Supreme Lord is the Supreme Lord, that we're one with it, but we're also different because we're not Jiva-Tattva. We're not Vishnu-Tattva, we're Jiva-Tattva. So we're tiny. So we can be covered over by the material or the spiritual energy. So therefore, he presented the whole flowering fruit.
Okay.
So that's, you have to see everything in it's like if you're looking at, you have to look at a map from a higher level and look, oh, here's how the things came together. Okay. So if you just take them apart, you won't see how they're all connected. But if you look up from Krishna's platform, or we hear from our gurus, then you can see, oh, how the development of love of God, of how Lord Chaitanya came, but he sent all these people before them to actually help train, help give different time and place and circumstance.
Okay, two smaller things, if that's okay.
Okay.
So I had often heard that Lord Buddha came to end animal slaughter, but it's a bit more than that.
I can't hear you.
I had often heard that Lord Buddha came to end animal slaughter, but it's a bit more than that. It was also to bring some bhakti to those who didn't have it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there's always a purpose.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of those people, like now there's Buddhism's all over the world, but it's the end result of it is they follow many of the same principles, but their end result is...
Yes, it's very different.
...off the cliff. They went down with that. So we don't, as a devotee... We don't aspire to be Sayuja Mukti, become one, or become zero. And that's why Prabhupada's his pranams, Nirvisesha Sunyavadi, means he came to kick out this Mayavadism, kick out this impersonal stuff. He came, that's part of his mission, to kick in the face these things. Otherwise, people are going to all be misled again, and following platforms is not to their spiritual benefit.
Okay, and the last thing is that because there have been all these gradual revelations, what is the certainty that Lord Chaitanya is the end of all? There isn't going to be another incarnation that's going to tell us something more.
Well, we know there's an incarnation of Kalki, but Kalki may not come in this Kali Yuga because only once in a day of Brahma does Lord Chaitanya come. And so whenever Lord Chaitanya comes, then the platform is that is the Yuga Dharma. But Kalki comes, and in this particular age, anyway, this is controversial. There's some think he will come, some he won't come. So I won't tell you which it is. You can take whatever platform that your heart's going. But the when Lord Chaitanya comes, generally speaking, then that's the Yuga Dharma. And so it was told in the, at the end of the Kali Yuga, even if a person can chant Hare or Krishna even once, you can become liberated for this. Okay. Because people's intelligence will become so poor, the devotees will be hunted later on, like we hunt deer and stuff. So it'll be very, very, and the end toward of Kali Yuga is not very comfortable for devotees. Okay. And so religion will almost be completely eradicated. So if somehow some one person out of all the millions and billions of people on the earth can even chant Krishna once, person can become liberated. That's how bad it'll get.
Okay.
So we're always encouraged not to hang around for that time.
Lord Chaitanya's teachings are complete. There's nothing that's going to be added to them at some point in this yuga, correct?
He may send other acharyas who may reveal some additional things. I mean, that's okay. Krishna's prerogative. So right now, Prabhupada didn't tell us everything when we were new devotees. We didn't understand ABCs. We didn't understand how to pass stool or how to, you know, we didn't have any culture. So gradually, he would start revealing more and more. So he's already given us Chaitanya Charitamrita. So all these things are there. The elevated platforms are explained in there. It's just that, you know, we have to wait till we're qualified for all these things. And we become qualified by hearing and chanting and seriously in association with devotees. Then when we become qualified, these things will be revealed to us. This is revelation. We're not in a, this isn't mental speculation. We're not here to become jnanis. We're here to become bhaktas, and that means our heart grows. So as we associate hearing and chanting, then what will happen? Our bhakti will grow. And as our bhakti grows, then more things will be revealed to us. But they're already there in the books. They'll just be revealed when we actually understand them. Just like when you first read Bhagavad Gita, you have one reading. You thought this is it. Then you read it after you chanted a little bit, you have another, wow, where was that? You know, and I just read a verse here that something had clicked in me that I hadn't heard before, I hadn't thought about before. And so every time you read something, it's like, oop, the window opens up a little bit more. So you get a little bit more as you're hearing and chanting that, you know, that you're opening the window. And it's like all that dust has been cleared off more and more. So it might start like this, and you're reading and hearing, and then gradually it's like that. And then gradually, all the dust is gone, and then you can, it's transparent. So that's how reading of the literatures are transcendental, because as you become purified, you see things in it you couldn't see, like, you know, even a month or two ago, or a year ago, or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago. So you're getting more revealed because you're making advancement in Krishna consciousness.
Okay. Thank you.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Any other questions or corrections? No? Sure? I don't know if I went over or what, but anyway, thank you. Jai. All glories to the Prabhupada, Bancha Kalpa, TBS Cha, Kripa Sindhu, Bhiva Cha, Patita Nam Pa, Vinibhya, Vaishnavya, Bhiva, Namo Namaha. Vaishnavsky Jai. Boo.
Thank you.